Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, gentle listeners. It is I, your humble host, Bill Hatch III, here in a special studio at an undisclosed location. And we're in on the Anaheim side now, right? Or are we still in Garden Grove?
We're in Anaheim.
And a special episode because, well, for one reason, because my parents are here. We're actually all in the same room. There will be no telephone connection. So, yay!
Yeah, that's great.
So, my parents, Bill and Eileen Hatch, are here. And Chaplain Hatch, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, son. Good evening, Bloglanders, wherever you may be, since we have traveled to the West Coast for this week in honor of our 48th wedding anniversary. We thought we'd return to the scene of the crime, as it were. But our anniversary is actually Wednesday, and we will have the show, still participate in the show this coming Wednesday. But just glad to be here. Eileen, say hello.
Yep, and so glad to have them out here. It's been, well, just since October. Since I saw you all last, and so not too long as things go, but we are going to dive into a subject that has great personal meaning to us, however you want to say it. But we've touched on it before. Rudy, in fact, did a Rudy Minute a few weeks ago, talking about a couple of people who had decided to commit suicide because of their depression. But while we haven't really devoted an entire episode to it, and from the looks of things, we may end up doing a couple of episodes on it. But we wanted to talk about depression and get on with different outcomes maybe even talk about some ways and places to get help. One of the other reasons why it's so special is that, or so close a topic to my heart, is that I was diagnosed with major depression several years ago. I take medications, have therapy, all that kind of stuff, and not the most exciting part of my life, but definitely one that I know the ups and downs of it. And we can talk about that and to whatever degree it sounds appropriate, but we were going to talk about some biblical stories where depression may have played a part or definitely played a part. Yes, we'll probably get to Elijah, right? Was the big one.
We may get to Elijah tonight. We will see how we go with it.
There's a lot there.
Yeah. And while Eileen and I are here celebrating an anniversary, it is still all right that we are talking about depression, because we all go through it. We have several biblical references, starting with Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. The joke goes, after Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden because Eve ate them out of house and home, they actually both ate of the forbidden fruit.
That is true.
And they had to start working for a living. Instead of just taking care of a garden that had lots of food for them and ready, they get booted out. What's important for that example that I really encourage you to look at, it's in chapter 3 of Genesis where they are booted out. Chapter 4 is a good beginning point for Adam and Eve in the sense that it's Eve who is the first one listed giving praises again to God after they are excommunicated from the garden. But each time, she's the one who is giving praise. She gets, when she and Adam have Cain and Abel, and later on as Seth, we don't see or hear anything more really of Adam. But it's Eve who is talking to God. Talk about the way we should be responding when we're depressed. We should be talking to God always. The next example is their first two sons.
No personal examples there.
Praise the Lord.
At least not to that extent. But we definitely were at odds on occasion. But the story of Cain and Abel. the first murder in history. And of course, the whole story goes that the Cain brought some fruit to give to God, and then Abel, the younger brother, to step things up a bit, took the first of his sheep, the firstborn of the sheep of the flock, and sacrificed that to God. And God found favor, and Abel found favor with God, whereas Cain did not in the sacrifice and
in the offerings.
Yes, right.
And we have the fact that Cain's the first one to do it, but it's not as acceptable, not because of what he did, but probably because of how he did it.
Mm-hmm.
Abel brought the firstborn. Cain may have only brought some of his first gatherings of produce from the ground.
Right.
But the sacrifice of first fruits is supposed to be really showing your faith that God will continue to provide by giving the first thing that you got.
You give the first.
But
doesn't matter whether
right. It's
good or bad.
Give the
first fruit.
Right. But those rules weren't in place then.
No.
And we don't know. But Cain was the first one to bring it forward. It wasn't as acceptable. And he's downcast. Sounds like depression, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's after that he kills Abel. We do not know if it's just for that reason or if it's reasons we've talked about in the past that are fun to think about or intriguing to think about.
Right.
But Cain did kill Abel, and there was after this mark of depression.
Yeah. And anger can be an outlet of depression, especially in children and teens. I know
anybody of any age.
Yeah, that's true. But I do remember it tended to rear its ugly head as a pretty nasty temper when I was younger, even just a few years younger.
Okay.
It's interesting. There is some thought on the whole thing on some aspects of depression actually being survival instincts. Depression comes with some pretty hefty baggage. One thing being rumination, which is when you go through over and over again some negative memory, and you get in this loop and you can't quite get out of it. And then you've got hyperfocusing, where you would hyperfocus on some negative aspect. The hyperfocusing was actually what got me through college, got me my bachelor's degree, because I was just so down about what had happened in my marriage that instead of it working negatively against me, it actually had a positive outcome. And the same thing goes with rumination. When things are working right, rumination becomes working through the same problem over and over again until a solution can be found. And that definitely helped me get finished up through school. So I guess I can attribute my degree and doing so well in school on my divorce.
not enviable, but I'm glad you got through it successfully.
But it's perspective that you can now deal with.
Right.
Wow, that was bad, but this is really good, and I can go more places with this. So that's over there in the cupboard, stashed away, not needed.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what people's problem. They keep going back. We do that on a daily basis.
Right.
It's just whether you can talk yourself back out of it or not.
And that's been one of the saving graces is that because I have intelligence, because I have a particular intelligence, I guess I should say, not that other people are stupid or anything like that, but that can focus on logic and imagination, that I've been able to work my way through certain, let's just say, negative ideations, to satisfy those urges, but to come out the other side.
and focusing and using the scriptures to help you through those times is what is really, truly important.
True.
If we may, we'll move on to the next point of depression, and that would be Noah. Now, you have to look into this one a whole lot to really be able to understand. I mean, Noah was 500 years old, which is beyond any of our concepts, when God told him, build an ark. And it's not the flood's coming in 100 years, which, again, is beyond our understanding. And you have to look after the whole flood story, which is in Genesis 5, 6, 7, 8, and I believe 9 as well. But you have to even look beyond that to find out that when God told Noah to do this, build this ark by himself, none of his sons had even been born yet. And the chronological listings later on in Genesis, which is probably chapter 10, but you can look. You can find out that Noah was already over 500 before the first son was born.
Right.
And then he had three of them, and then they built the ark, and then they were all saved. But we are told in the New Testament that while Noah was building the ark, he was telling people to repent and come to the Lord because this was going to happen. And they just didn't believe that something called rain was going to happen. Up to that time, it was always the earth was watered by a mist. And after the flood, I think we see some depression and idle hands, by the way, because Noah afterwards becomes a grower of grapes and made wine and got drunk. There's some depression in there, I have no doubt.
Yeah, everybody who went is gone, and
that was the ultimate emptiness.
Pretty much.
It really was, because think of everything his family had to do, just the eight of them,
mm-hmm.
taking care of all these animals inside, taking care of what the animals ate after they ate it, and all the fun stuff involved.
Yeah.
And
for 13 months they were on board. This wasn't just a 40-day thing.
That's a lot of poop.
Yeah, a lot of poop.
It is. It's a lot.
But suddenly, it's him and the humans. The animals have all gone off to do what they need to do now.
Right.
For the most
and he's
part.
Like, what do I do now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so definitely could be some understanding as to how depression could set in for that.
Yes.
And then we go to Genesis 11, and we have the story of the Tower of Babel, where everybody's speaking the same language, and they're feeling kind of high and mighty of themselves and decide to build a tower that will reach the sky, which, by the way, I was watching a show on, it was either Science or National Geographic or something, that was talking about brick-making technology that would have existed at the time. And they did the math and all and the structural stuff to figure out that it would have been possible, though of course they wouldn't say that it had been done, but that it would be possible to build a structure out of these particular types of brick that were available at the time. Mm-hmm. Of about 1.2 miles.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, which would dwarf straight up.
Straight up.
Yeah, which would dwarf everything we've made by a factor of 1,000.
Wow.
And, of course, science would have fun playing with that, because if you get that high up, you don't have enough oxygen, and that maybe is how God changed all their languages, or they couldn't understand. But envisioning the idea of my best friend Fred over there, who I was working with this morning, God comes and punishes everybody, and all of a sudden, my best friend Fred and I don't speak the same language anymore. And we naturally drift off to the groups that we speak the same language.
Right.
I mean, it could have even been possible that happened between husbands and wives at the time. We simply do not know, but
right.
The world divided because people were going against what God told them.
would kind of be an interesting foreshadowing to things later on, much later on in the Bible, of father against son and daughter against mother and all that. That could have been that very thing happening right then.
That will be a very profound point from Revelation when fathers and sons are against each other, and that would be depressing because I'm outnumbered 3-1. But I don't believe that will happen with our family because all of our children are good, strong Christians. They're good Christians. We then are going to jump because of time. Abraham, who was called out to take his wife and go to a new country, and he didn't go off by himself quite as the way God said it. He took his nephew, Lot. He also took his father. And they went one step further, but not all the way. And then after Dad died, then they went forward.
You notice that Abraham's story is filled with times when he created all sorts of problems for not only himself, but people today, because he couldn't quite follow what God said to do.
And there was depression going on between him and his wife, Sarah. And I have no doubt that's why Sarai. No, this is after the promise. This is after the promise that they were going to be parents. But it didn't happen right away, and they got depressed. I have no doubt that's why Sarah offered up Hagar, her maidservant, and all of a sudden Abraham's temperament probably was in a much happier mood there briefly. Because Hagar had Ishmael, but God said, nope, that's not who's going to get it. And that caused more trouble because they did not ask God first. If they had, God would have perhaps let them know better that it was not to be that way, and they should just keep their affections to each other. But then we have the birth of Isaac when Abraham is 100 years old. Some years after that, we're not told exactly how many years later, but later enough to have young Isaac able to carry his own load of wood, is set up to, God says, sacrifice your son Isaac. I'm sure there was depression for two people at this point. Abraham, who definitely is supposed to sacrifice this son of promise. And then I'm sure that in the scriptures we can find or very easily relate that Isaac is rather depressed about things because he carries the wood for his own self-sacrifice. And Abraham binding him and putting him on top of this wood, I'm sure there's depression there. It's not talked about.
Probably.
But it's still there. There's depression. Now, we are done with just the book of Genesis.
Just the book of Genesis.
But at the same time, most scholars and I agree that Job took place at the same time as Abraham.
It does seem to be.
And so we have the big depression story of Job.
Yeah, you got to read Job. Many consider it to be the finest poetry in the Bible.
And it also gets rather tiring because he has three friends. But first,
now that's a whole other show of what to go and say and do for a person that's depressed.
Right.
But if you read Job before we get to that show, those three did it all wrong.
Yeah.
Yes, and a fourth one did too as well. But there are three friends and a fourth one that shows up later. But wouldn't you be depressed? I mean, having 10 children and basically all the wealth you can imagine and having it all taken away. And I would imagine that there were, and he went through all this trial and tribulation. Yes, he got 10 more children. I don't envy that idea, and it doesn't say he changed wives either, so I'm sure she was a little bit overburdened.
Well, she was a little naughty at the beginning.
But yeah, she was pretty add to your depression, son. Why don't you just give it up?
She was not very helpful.
Curse God and die is what she should told him to do.
Yeah,
that is.
Yeah,
that's bad for her.
But what is really important to know is that God was holding counsel in heaven, and tells us that he stays active no matter what. God, there's a great song, God looks on us from a distance. It's really much closer than that.
Yep.
But definitely, Job gets to not really talk too much to God. He's sort of confronted by God, but he's also found to be very, very much in God's love. That is something that all believers are in today still. And we need to be able to, it's all right to question God. It's all right to say, why is this happening to me? And God's love still says, well, you don't get to see the whole picture. And that's true. And that gets to be, as we try to be prideful and self-supportive, we shouldn't be that self-supportive. We should rely on God. So, we're not going to cover Moses being depressed in Exodus because he wanted to do it all when he was 40. And then at age 80, he didn't want to do it at all. And then between 80 and 120, there were several times when he said, why, God?
Yeah, you got to read the story of Moses, because some of the conversations between Moses and God are just absolutely hilarious.
Well, what got to me about it is, when Moses went to him and said, okay, let's get rid of all these and start over, God says, no, that's not what I want to do. Then the next one would be God saying, I'm going to strike all these people dead. That's enough. And Moses protected them.
Right.
That two of them could not agree. They kept taking the cop extreme.
My favorite one, though, is when Moses tells God, or asks God, did I give birth to these people that I should have to bear them?
But God was supporting Moses by doing those things to help him see all of it and continuing on and going forward. But it also shows depression with Joshua after the Battle of Jericho, and all of a sudden they get defeated because they didn't send the whole army in the first place. But no, there was sin that happened at Jericho, and therefore they didn't win the first battle of Ai. And so God said, find the sin, get rid of the sin. And that's how they went forward again. But God had to tell Joshua to get up off your knees and stop praying and go do this. And that's important for us to be able to see also. God expects us to have action, not just sitting around. And Joshua was praying. Understand that, folks. He was praying, and God said, okay, stop praying, get up and do this.
Right.
And we have the same responsibilities today. Shall we continue on?
Let us continue.
We'll have time.
We've got lots of time. Just as a quick aside, if you do need help with depression, you can send us a contact. We can't help you ourselves, but we can certainly help direct you in the way that you need to go. There is nothing wrong with getting professional help. It is not your fault that you have depression.
Yes.
It is just a thing, and it can be worked on.
And if by chance you're listening to this and you just thought, wait a minute, this friend of mine, they've been acting strange. Mm-hmm. Be a listening post for them.
Yeah.
Spend time with them. Find out what's going on for them and see if you can find some help for them. Tell them that you'll pray with them, not for them, with them. Sit down, hold hands, and pray. And listen to what they're going through. And if you can be a great listener, that's one of the first things that will help somebody out of anxiety or depression.
Right. Yeah, and it's important to get, like this last year, I realized after Leah's passing, that I needed to act aggressively toward it, because so I immediately, one of my earliest phone calls when we knew what was going to happen was to a lady who had been my therapist before, but I had not stopped going to her because of Leah's needs. And so I told her what was going on and that I needed to get started back up. And she told me that there was a grief group forming nearby, and she referred me over to it. And so we attacked it aggressively. I mean, there's no other word for it.
No, you have to.
You know,
it's when you come to the realization, this is what you need.
Yeah.
The other thing is, reach out to your pastor. He knows of resources where you are. We have no idea where you are right now. I mean, we're bouncing around from California to Louisiana to Georgia to Missouri and back again and to Oklahoma. But your pastor is local, and he can direct you to either a group, a therapy group that's meeting, an actual therapist, whatever it is that
right.
you find, and they'll have the contact to help you.
Now, I would, of course, say that that it's a good thing to have a believer as your therapist,
yes.
As I do, but that was entirely by happenstance.
That was by God.
And all that, but there's nothing wrong with getting the help you need from somebody who doesn't believe. They'll just attack it from a slightly different point of view. That's all. Just as long as you're getting good help, that's what counts. Later, you can worry about that.
Another one that is good from, and the next in line, as it were, have to have a slight background. When Moses was bringing the people out of Egypt and wandering for those 40 years, they had a run-in with the country of Moab. And God told them never have any dealings with the Moabites. Now go to the book of Ruth. Oops. We have Naomi and her husband, and I'm sorry, but I'm not looking at it directly. And there's a famine in the Jerusalem area. I'm sorry, the Bethlehem area. And they decide to go into the land of Moab to live out the time while there's such a drought going on. And Naomi, her husband, and their two sons go to Moab, where God's told them already you shouldn't do that.
Not the one in Utah, by the way. There's a Moab in Utah.
Oh, is there? So anyway, they go there. The sons get married. First, the dad dies, and then the two sons die, and Naomi is depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And she tries to send both the daughter-in-laws back home. One of them does go home, but Ruth does not. Ruth the Moabitess, who God told the people not even to mess with.
Right.
You know, but Ruth stays with her, and she declares to Naomi, "Your God will be my God." And they come back, and Ruth goes out to glean in fields. That's gathering food out of harvest fields.
Because at the time, the standard practice for public well-being was to leave the corners of your field ungleaned so that the poor could come.
And there were also things left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they just went through once, and then
they were supposed to.
Yeah.
And it just so happened.
Well,
90 seconds.
We're about to the end of our live time. Shall we quickly do the sinner's prayer before we go to archive time?
We shall do the archive of the sinner's prayer, but we're not doing it quickly. We are praying earnestly to God.
Yes, we are.
So if you would join me, please, in sinner's prayer.
Sure.
Dear Father, I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
Please forgive my sins.
Please forgive my sins.
Help me to see the path to Jesus.
Help me to see the path to Jesus.
That I will accept him as Savior and Lord.
That I will accept him as Savior and Lord.
And that I will be aware of your loving forgiveness.
I will be aware of your loving forgiveness.
And I also pray that you will help me to study your holy word every day.
And I pray that you will help me to study your holy word every day.
In Jesus' holy name, we pray these things and more.
In his holy name we pray, these things and more.
Amen and amen.
And amen.
God's blessing. Don't forget Wednesday night. Next Saturday, we cannot be on the show. We're flying.
Yep. So we'll figure something out.
You and Rudy got it.
Rudy and I will have to figure something out. But, okay, now let's finish up the story of Ruth.
Sure, because we should be on the archives now.
Yep.
So Ruth is God's answer to Naomi's depression. And it's an amazing point because she is filled with joy because literally she gets to see the next generation that is given as, you have to read the story to understand it, okay? There's no biological connection for Naomi to her grandson that she gets. But in those days, that child was literally assigned to the family of Naomi's husband, and therefore he would have had those properties, which were not a big deal because
right.
How come his name, I'm sitting here and goofing up.
Boaz.
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 Yes, Boaz. Yes,
Boaz. Well, what's also something that you would need to do more reading to understand, and using a little bit of connective logic, is that Ruth ends up being in the family lineage of not only David, but of Jesus.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's why she's in the Bible at all. Why the book was written and would have been published at the time, or given orally, was because David wanted people to know, hey, yes, I've got this Moabitess in my ancestry, but this is who she was. You know, and all to legitimize that part of his, you know, his heritage.
But yes, Obed would have actually belonged to Elimelech.
They were related. They were absolutely related. Yes.
Elimelech wouldn't have been his grandfather. He would have been considered his father because he lost his son with no heritage.
Right.
Yep. But those heritage things are enough.
The other thing is they never tell us if Ruth and Boaz had other children.
No, that part of the story wasn't that important.
No, except that then Boaz would have a lineage
right.
from that.
And there are all sorts of conversations in that.
Yes.
But we're not doing that kind of the study.
Right.
In addition to Ruth, there are many different signs of depression in Judges.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at several of them. But you know what caused the majority of those depressions was the fact that they stopped following God.
Right.
And God allowed the neighboring peoples to come in and conquer them and literally enslave them.
The fear just showed up when it was harvest time and took all the crops and ran.
Yep.
Right.
That was it, all right. It was quite a agricultural program. We will let you grow food. We'll come in and take it all.
Right.
Causing depressions on many of the judges, especially if it's not really depression, but if you were Gideon and you were going to go fight an army of 110,000 with what ended up being 300 soldiers, there was going to be depression. And so, again, these are things that you should go forward and read and realize that depression's there, but God always comes to the rescue. So look at them.
When they turn their hearts back to God. Every time, I think we did a little study once, of every time David stopped praying, stopped turning to God, he got in trouble, whether it was his own children, his own fault, whatever it was.
Yeah. Right.
You know, a census, anything he did, he just forgot to talk to God first.
What a nice lead-in. You just got into David.
I did.
Because David is in
job.
The progression of what we're doing here. And, yes, David had some depressions because of all sorts of things. I mean, his best friend's dad wanted to kill him. That's depressing.
Yep.
Without a doubt.
And then he had to leave.
Not just that he wanted to kill him, but that he had the means to do so.
And kept trying to do so over and over.
Luckily, he was allowed to be shot with a spear.
Yeah.
Yes. And So and he had to separate from that best friend.
Yeah.
And his best friend got killed along with Saul. And
then to help him put himself through that depression, he had them find
a living descendant of Jonathan's.
And he took care of that.
Mephibosheth.
Yes. However, I'm mispronouncing it because it's not an easy name.
No, it isn't.
But being able to read through those ideas. And then when David had multiple sons, as he was getting older, and one of them, Absalom in particular, wanted to literally steal the kingdom and have his father killed. David.
Yep.
Right.
He wanted... I don't want that to happen to my household. I have three sons. They're all bigger than me. That would be depressing to have any of them wanting to come after.
Yeah.
Don't
think that one's going to happen.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. But
your
kingdom's
just not worth it.
How well we all know that. They can argue over who gets the first sip out of the cup of coffee that I leave them in there. But seriously, David had depression on that. And
it wasn't bad enough his having to leave his country when he was the king of it to stay away from his son. On the way, he had people attacking him.
Right.
Verbally and otherwise.
Yes.
Yes. David was having to run from so many different folks at different times. And then even a son after that tried to usurp the kingdom when it had been promised to Solomon.
Yes.
And so there was depression there and seeing how how family was falling apart. And
then near the end of his days being so dependent on others,
I'm sure.
That had to be.
Yeah.
Very
depressing
on that.
Yeah.
I mean... And all those are in the Bible to look at. And when we look and see what happens when we are talking to God, like Solomon was doing early in his reign, was amazing.
And remember, the talking with God means to listen for the message God has for you.
And
it may come through a friend. It may come through a relative. You never know where God... It may be... You see a butterfly, a bright colored butterfly.
Oh.
That could be God saying it's going to be better. Look to the better part. Get out of the hole.
Yeah. It can be really difficult to get out of that hole.
Oh, yeah, it can. But it's something you have to do for yourself.
Yeah.
Remember the story of the donkey that fell down in the well and the master was just going to leave him and he decided he'd bury him and he started throwing dirt in and the donkey... kept kicking the dirt up around, and it kept raising him up until he climbed out of the well.
Okay?
So people may throw dirt on you, but just use it to pile it up to help you climb up.
And like the old saying about, when you hit rock bottom, that's the best because you have something to push off of.
Yes.
always keep working forward on depression because there are always people who want to help. And God is always the strongest, best support we can have when we can let ourselves receive it and see that he really does have better things for us. Okay, going on in the Old Testament, I'm going to jump to 1 Kings.
1 Kings?
To an individual that we very well know as Elijah. Not Elisha. It's very easy to get those two backwards.
Different guy.
And imagine being supported by God and having a magnificent power and ability doesn't mean that you always stay up on that level. Elijah prayed, and it stopped raining in the northern kingdom for 3 years. That was God telling Elijah to bring a point home to Ahab and Jezebel. Now, I admit that's a pretty strong thing, but Elijah did it and it stopped raining. And then he has a contest, and it's a sacrificial contest with the prophets of Baal. Now, you really have to find out that there are lots of different gods that were named Baal.
Right.
There really were. So that gets a little difficult. You don't have to worry about it either.
Okay.
They were against the only true God, so it really doesn't matter. But at the time, there were 450 prophets of Baal. At the end of this 3 years, and the drought's still on, and Elijah puts on this contest, and it had to do with sacrificing the bull, and it's comical, but it really is. So you can read it. It's in First Kings, and I'd make you look for it after that.
Yeah.
I didn't write the chapter down.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, right. Elijah wins the battle, even after having his sacrifice drowned in salt water.
Right.
Had to be salt water because there wasn't any other fresh water. The drought was so bad. And this was
by the sea.
Yep, Carmel by the sea.
Carmel.
Not Carmel. Not California's Carmel by the sea.
No.
But the one in Israel.
First King.
And, thank you. First King 18. And so anyway, after drowning it literally three times with salt water, God causes it all to burn up. After
and
the
water
prophet,
and all.
Yeah. And the prophets of Baal couldn't do anything, and those prophets were killed literally on the spot. And then Elijah goes and prays on the mountaintop facing the ocean.
But remember now.
Seven times.
Once before the Baals, this was before their sacrifice was taken by God.
Yeah.
He told all of the people that were there, come to me.
Yes.
And they separated themselves away. God protected those that were staying loyal to him that didn't want to worship Baal.
Ah, okay.
And so he took care of them. He was there for them. It wasn't all bad.
Yes, that's true. We have 3 minutes left, so I think we're going to have to stop with Elijah up on the mountain praying for rain. He prays seven times, and then a little tiny cloud the size of a fist, and get ready, the floods are coming.
Right.
And that's where we should leave it there, because we still have Elijah's depression to go.
Yeah.
But God was answering an amazing point right there.
We'll get back to this in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Then. And, well, next week will be interesting because it will just be me and Rudy.
All right. You can handle it.
We'll have to have a Rudy 15 minutes.
it looks like we have a minute or two.
Yeah. We still got a couple minutes.
Okay.
Word cuts.
One of the Bible apps I use is Bible Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
And it so happens that on the dashboard today, the verse of the day is Psalm 116, the first two verses. I love the Lord because he hears and continues to hear my voice and my supplication, my pleas, my cries, my specific needs. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. God has brought you to a point that you can see a light that you can walk towards and follow him. And do not walk away from it because he is always there for you.
It doesn't matter how dark the situation is. There is a light. You just need to turn and see it.
And the minute anyone lights a flashlight or a candle, the darkness is dispelled. So find someone that is willing to listen, that can help you, or be the one that listens.
Darkness and evil do run from the light.
Yes.
And Jesus is the light of the world.
Yes. Amen.
Amen to that. Yep. We're coming up to the very bitter end, but not so bitter at all. So thank you so much for joining us tonight. Remember to be here on Wednesday for Bible study. And, and don't forget Monday, too, because Monday's story time. And I've been getting some good responses from people on story time. It's been pretty funny. You should listen to it.
I tried, and it wouldn't let me listen to the first one. I don't know. Hear the second one before I've heard the first one.
Huh.
Well, so I'll have to have you show me what I'm doing.
Okay. But we'll
if
see you again.
If you can't get a phone up, send Bill a message.
There you go. Follow us here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also like us on Facebook as YWL Online.